Chapter 85 Petite Part-Time Punk. Melody is at work. Her arms are scratched, cross-hatched. The carpenters stare at those scratches over morning tea. Or are they simply gazing ahead, blindly? They sometimes do just that. The tea is a habit hard to kick, even in midsummer's grip. Self-inflicted, they probably think, those scratches. Self-harm. They do that kind of thing in their youth. It's a call for help or a statement of some kind. A reaction to the establishment, whatever that is. It could all be part of the act. She's in a band, isn't she? She could do it for authenticity. The others could think all these things while sitting there smugly sipping their tea, bored and world-weary, distracted by the escapades of this petite part-time punk lackey. Little do they know that she got those scratches back in Chapter 77, when she dived through a hedge with a companion called Mitch and rolled across the footpath grass, escaping prickles and the strong arm of the special branch, the kid bashes, the guardians of so-called morality. She and he scratched. Breathless and in stitches, they stand up, brush themselves down, and wander off into the warm peach sorbet dusk. House lights and televisions are on. Feet are up. Dullards, says she. Doldrums, says he. Over the hills of inner city suburbs they go, taking it all in. All in their stride, a whole lot of not much, catching each other by the arm occasionally as if by accident, or else driven by some unescapable force of attraction, there in the playground of their youth, and leading charmingly, willingly, readily, and directly to what happened back in Chapter 78. Probably worth a visit if you have not already been there. What does it all matter now? The fact is, there at work, her fellow workers are taking in her eyeshadow, the paperclip earrings, torn tights and clumsy tie-dyed t-shirt right now. Wondering if that is real blood or something that comes in a can or a sachet. Scratched arms form a part of it, a fashion accessory for aesthetic effect. What do they know, she thinks to herself, and less do I care. Tearing piece of sticky bun and stuffing it into mouth, chewing in a vulgar kind of way, wholly intentionally. The bun is like the tea, a ritual of labour, difficult to do without, fluffy, flossy and blessed with pink icing. What did you do to your arms? Someone asks. Everyone stops chewing. The question soon evaporates into thin air. In a minor show of public disobedience, Melody waits before answering. She has the episode of cavorting with that guy Mitch fresh in her mind. The bizarre pool gig party in Chapter 77, ineptly plundered by police. Public escaping up drains and over fences, through a thicket and rolling onto the footpath in stitches, and then Chapter 78 occurred under someone's house on a platform of sorts, like a kind of nest. In the meantime, mastication can be paused for just so long. The body can get tired of suspense, of being kept waiting. Saliva, squirting, ejaculating prematurely, is that the word? Digestive juices readily gurgling. Yeah, mind your own business, says Les to the others. The quiet, dark, angry one. He has a mane of beard and black hair, his face nestled in there like a hot moon, till he looks up with his slicing glare. Those eyes could cut glass, could pierce hardened steel, could split atoms. The tea mug is but a toy in his large paw, a thimble. Out of diplomacy, everybody looks away to see the quivering midday haze corrupting the city. Sparring crows like lazy black rags tossed and tumbling in the air. Everybody looks away, momentarily nostalgic and yearning some long-lost thing they maybe never had, or else simply looks away out of habit.